Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Say, do you remember that narrow escape Jack and Billy had when we last heard of them? That mysterious figure in white, a fanatical moral killer, was hot on their trail. Billy and Jack barely escaped with their lives. And you know what saved them. It was that tiny gleam of light in the darkness, a fierce, unearthly gleam that seemed to strike terror in the heart of the Moro. Yes, our friends can give thanks for their escape to that amazing finger ring Jack carries, the luminous Dragon's Eye Ring. Now I ask you, did you ever hear of anything so weird and strange and exciting as this ring that shines in the darkness? Think of it. Here's a handsome finger ring made of some curious white material. Neither Jack nor Uncle Jim knows what it is, and mounted with an eye of brilliant green tenite. It's decorated with mysterious symbols of the Far East, two savage-looking crocodile figures in relief that seem to hold the green tenite eye right in their open jaws. Why, it's a ring you'd like to own the minute you see it. But listen, it's in the darkness where the luminous Dragon's Eye Ring reveals its true powers. When you take it into some dark place, the whole ring seems to light up as if it had green fire inside it. Yes, that curious white material shines so brightly that you can actually see the ring in pitch darkness clear across the room. And that green tenite eye stands out against the cold green glow of the ring to look almost like the gleaming eye of a tiger or a dragon. It's true, the luminous Dragon's Eye Ring has almost everybody guessing. But I'm going to let you in on what's probably the biggest news of the year. We've discovered the secret of the Dragon's Eye Ring. We know what makes it shine in the darkness. And we are making it possible for you to own a luminous ring almost exactly like the one Jack Armstrong is carrying on his adventures. That's right. You yourself can actually own a luminous Dragon's Eye Ring, one that fits your finger the minute you get it. Your ring will be made of this mysterious white material that glows in the dark. It'll have a beautiful eye of genuine tenite and the crocodile decoration just like the ring Jack carries in the story. How do you get it? Well, listen very carefully while I give you full instructions, because we have only a limited number of these rings on hand, and if you're going to be among the first to get one, you'll want to order now. Simply cut the top off a package of Wheaties, those champion flakes of good whole wheat, and send that Wheaties box top with one dime, 10 cents, and your name and address to Jack Armstrong, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Send your Wheaties box top and the dime to Jack Armstrong, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And order today. I'm telling you, these luminous Dragon's Eye rings aren't going to last very long when all the fellas and girls get their orders in. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. It is the dark hour before dawn in the harbor of the little Moro village of Carabungo on the Mindanao coast in the Philippines. Anxious watchers in the village peer up the black river which empties into the sea from the Mindanao jungle. For somewhere up this river, fierce Moros are waiting for a chance to sweep down in fast beaters and attack. The schooner Spindrift, in search of lost uranium and the missing Professor Loring, is at anchor near Carabungo. Billy and Betty and the village trader Yates are asleep below decks after their long vigil through the first part of the night. Jack and Uncle Jim are standing watch on deck, straining their eyes as they search through the darkness for any sign of attacking Moros. Listen.
Starting to get light in the east, Jack. I can see the mountains standing against the sky.
Oh, well, I'd be glad to see daylight. When it's dark like this, every shadow in the water looks like a sailing vina full of Moros.
Yes, it is a strange act. I wish Malio would get back. He'll have some information for us.
Do you think they may attack after sunrise, Uncle Jim?
I don't know, Jack. If they find out we've got that luminous Dragon's Eye ring, they may raid the village in the hope of getting it.
But the ring is locked up in the strongbox in your cabin, isn't it?
It's locked up. That strongbox is no great protection.
No, I guess not. Say, what was that?
I didn't hear anything, Jack.
I thought I heard a slight splash forward. I'll go up to the bow and look around.
Be careful, Jack. Don't let anyone take you by surprise.
I won't, Uncle Jim.
Hello. That you, Billy?
Yes, Uncle Jim.
What's the matter? Can't you sleep after your watch on deck?
Gosh, no, Uncle Jim. I can't sleep a wink. Every time I close my eyes, I see boatloads of Moros climbing over the gunwales and brandishing bolos and barons.
Say, where's Jack?
He thought he heard a splash near the bow of the schooner. He went forward to look around. Oh, here he comes now. Did you see anything, Jack?
Not much, Uncle Jim. Still too dark on the water to see anything.
And the Moros aren't coming yet. You could have seen them.
I guess it was just my imagination, Uncle Jim. Hi, Billy. Hey, you ought to be catching up in your sleep.
No use trying, Jack. I can't sleep. My imagination has been working overtime, too.
Say, The surf sounds louder than it did yesterday.
The groundswells are rolling in from some distant typhoon, Billy. See how the schooner rolls?
Gosh, I hope we're not dragging anchor. We'd smash into kindling wood in short order if we drifted toward that surf.
Well, we can soon see if we're drifting, Billy. Look how the stars are fading out in the dawn.
Say, that's funny. What is it, Jack? What do you see?
Why, we must be swinging at anchor. A few minutes ago, I could see the Southern Cross just to the right of the foremast. Now it's swung 90 degrees, and the wind and the tide haven't changed.
There's something wrong here, Jack. Listen, doesn't that surf sound still louder?
Uncle Jim, I think we're drifting.
Go forward, Jack, quickly. See if the anchor line is parted. Billy, you go below and wake up Yates. We'll need all hands if anything's gone wrong.
Okay, Uncle Jim. Say, there's Betty just coming up from her cabin.
Never mind Betty. Check that anchor line. Hurry.
I'm on my way, Uncle Jim.
Hello, Betty. What are you doing on deck now?
I woke up, Uncle Jim, and just felt that something was wrong.
Something is wrong. Either we're dragging anchor, or the anchor line is parted. I think we're drifting toward the breakers.
Oh, Uncle Jim! They sound terribly close.
They're not as close as they sound, but they're too close for comfort if anything's happened to the anchor. Jack's checking it now.
Shall I wake Billy, Uncle Jim?
He's awake. I sent him below to wake Yates. Here he comes now.
Uncle Jim, Yates is gone.
Gone? Are you sure, Billy?
I'm positive, Uncle Jim, and I know that he was below when I turned in.
Then he must have slipped above and gone overboard in the dark while Jack and I were on deck. Let's see what Jack's found out. Is the anchor dragging, Jack?
No, Uncle Jim. The anchor's gone. The line has been cut just above the chain.
Jumping, Jiminy. Then we're drifting towards the breakers.
And that isn't all, Jack. Yates has gone. Completely disappeared. That must have been him you heard splashing.
Then Yates cut the anchor line. But why?
I bet I know, Jack. I'll bet you he picked the lock to the strong box and stole the dragon's eye ring. I'll go below and find out.
No. Stay here, Billy. We've no time to find out about the ring now. We've got to save the spindrift from those breakers. Jack, uncat the spare anchor. Billy, go forward to the chain locker. Run out a spare anchor line on deck. Betty, you go forward with Jack and bend on the new anchor line as soon as he gets a running end on deck. I'll try and fix our exact location. Step quick now. A couple of seconds may mean the difference between safety and disaster.
Come on, Betty.
Oh, Jack, what a terrible time to have this happen. And the morrows may attack at any moment.
One worry at a time, Betty. If we don't save the spindrift, we won't have to worry much about the morrows.
Can you see, Jack? Shall I get a flashlight?
Oh, there's enough light to see now, Betty. Anyway, these knots are all square knots. I don't have to see them to untie them.
Look, Jack. I can see the shore now. We're headed for that cliff. Look at the breakers. Why, they're tossing spray high up on the face of the cliff.
Never mind the breakers, Betty. You work at those lashings at the fluke of the anchor. There. Now, we'll have her uncatted in half a jiffy.
Oh, Jack, I can't get this knot untied.
You're fighting it too hard, Betty. Just pull hard on one end and then work it loose. This way, see? There, now you can get it.
There she comes. The anchor's all unlashed now, Jack. It's
taking Billy so long with that spare anchor line. Hi, Billy, make it snappy. We're drifting toward the breakers fast.
Coming up, Jack.
Oh, he'd better hurry. I can feel the waves getting bigger.
Here's the running end of the line, Betty. While you're making it fast, I'll get it all clear below.
Okay.
Hey, we are getting close.
Here, Betty, I'll bend it on. You pull up the slack from the chain locker as Billy gets it clear.
How's that spare anchor, Jack? All ready to go overboard?
Half a jiffy, Uncle Jim. There, the new line's bent on now. How much slack have you, Betty?
Lots of it, Jack. It's all clear now.
Then let's heave it over, Jack. Lay hold. Now, up with it. Come on.
Is everything clear? Watch your foot, Betty. You're standing in a bite of the line. It'll take you overboard with it.
There. I'm all clear now.
Heave her over, Jack. One, two, three.
Hey, Uncle Jim, there's not much water under us.
It's 20 feet, Jack. I just heaved the lead, but she's shoaling fast.
We've got to give the anchor plenty of slack or she'll drag.
I know. Feed the slack to her.
But, Uncle Jim, if we pay out much more slack, we'll be right in the breakers.
We'll be right in the breakers if we don't give her enough slack, Betty. The anchor flukes won't dig in without a long line.
Is this enough slack, Uncle Jim?
I'm afraid not, Jack. Wait till I throw the lead line over and see what we've got. Watch out, Betty.
Yep.
Yeah, let's see what she reads. By the mark, three. 18 feet. Not very much water.
We're getting terribly close, Uncle Jim. Shall I snub the line?
All right, Jack. See if the anchor will dig in.
The boat's swinging to it, Uncle Jim. The anchor's biting in.
Yeah, but I don't think we've stopped drifting yet. No, it's dragging, Jack. Give her more slack.
But, Uncle Jim, just see how the waves are pitching us now.
You'll have to trust my judgment, Betty. Watch out. I'm going to take another sounding. Stand back, Betty. Hey, look at the marks. Only 2 fathoms. 12 feet of water isn't very much for this boat, Jack. Make your line fast. You can't go in any further.
Oh, is it holding, Jack? Is the anchor holding?
I can't tell yet, Betty. Wait a minute. I'll take a range on 2 points on shore and see if we're drifting.
You have to range on points where the coastline curves up toward the river, Jack.
That's what I'm doing, Uncle Jim. I'm sighting on that big boulder on shore and that tall tree on the cliff behind it.
Are we drifting, Jack? Oh, those breakers seem closer every time I look at them.
I'll tell you in a minute, Betty. The schooner's pitching so much, it takes a minute or so to make sure.
Oh, here comes Billy. He's got the anchor line coiled up in his arm.
rest of the anchor line, Uncle Jim? Will it be enough?
We can't use any more slack, Billy. We're too close in now.
Oh, jumping quick as we are going to get tucked in a minute. Is the anchor holding, Jack?
I'm just checking it, Billy. Uncle Jim, what do you think?
Let me take a side check. It's dragging. Not much, but a little.
What jumping, Jimmy, Uncle Jim? A little is too much. It only has to drag a little to get us in the breakers.
Uncle Jim, look. There's a large veda coming this way.
Hey, that's a war veda, and it's full of morals.
Jump on Jiminy Jiwiz. All we need now is to be attacked by about 20 morals. Then it won't matter whether we get smashed up in the breakers or not.
Betty, run back to the cockpit and get me the binoculars. Quick.
All right, Uncle Jim.
That veda's almost flying over the water, Uncle Jim. The morals are paddling, and the big red and blue sail almost lifts her out of the water.
Gosh, oh, gee, if they were only coming to help now.
Billy, maybe they are coming to help. Look at that moral standing in the bow. Isn't he wearing a white turban?
I don't know, Jack. It's hard to see.
If it is a white turban, that means it's Malua. Well, here comes Betty with the glasses.
Here are the binoculars, Uncle Jim.
Well, thanks, Betty. Stand to one side, Billy. You're right, Jack. That's Malua. He's coming like a house afire.
But, Uncle Jim, look. Look over there. Look at that veda with a white sail. It's just leaving the village and heading upstream. That must be Yates. He has the only veda in the village with a white sail.
Then he's taking the dragon's eye ring up the river. He's going to sell it to the Morals.
Oh, but we don't know for sure yet that he's got the ring, Billy.
No, I'll bet he has. I'll bet anything he has.
We'll worry about the ring later, Billy. In just about 1 minute, this schooner's going to be in the breakers.
Well, the crew of the Drift is in a pretty pickle now. Malua may arrive in time to save them, but will they be able to save the schooner? And what will they do about Yates? Has he really stolen the luminous ring? And say, don't forget those Moros up the river. They're just waiting for a chance to come down and raid the village. So be on hand, all of you, at this same time tomorrow, and see what happens in the pounding breakers of Cotabango in another exciting episode of the Luminous Dragon's Eye Ring with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, if you miss out on this surprising offer we are making, don't say I didn't warn you. You've got to order right now to get yourself a genuine luminous dragon's eye ring. The mysterious ring that glows in the darkness, just like the one Jack Armstrong carries. Send the top from a package of Wheaties, that's right, one Wheaties box top with a dime, 10 cents, and your name and address to Jack Armstrong, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Get some Wheaties and order your ring right away.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
The best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Every shark team be champ.